Then the nursery's dismissing in the back to go down. Aren't you glad this morning we serve a God that's not the great I was, but He's the great I am. Amen. He hasn't been. He always is and always will be. Amen. And what He's done before, He can do again. Amen. I'm glad of that this morning, and I'm glad in 2015 I can stand here to report to you that He's still on the throne, that He's still working miracles, and that He still wants to do something in your life. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I tell you what, I love that song because it just tells us we need to go back and remember. Amen. We just need to remember all the times that He's done something so great for us. Y'all pardon me just 1 minute. I got to go do something. Carlos, I forgot to shake your hand this morning. That would have bothered me the whole service. I forgot another one. There, look at that. Anybody else forgot? Well, I'm back here. Amen. That's what happens when the song leader's out and the piano player's not there and you're in the midst of shaking hands and you get told it's time to start the service. Amen. I tell you, it's good to be in God's house this morning. Turn your Bibles this morning into Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. We thank you all for being here and just pray for the ones that ain't. Look around you. There's a lot of empty seats, a lot of vacant spaces, a lot of folks have the bug. Amen. Some that aren't going through it right now are just getting over it, and some are just getting into it. And I tell you what, it's just a mess. It's everywhere. Everybody has it. Brother Woody and Sister Patsy had one kind of it. And I know George and Mary Ballou and their family are going through it. And Jim and Mary and Sister Amber are all dealing with it. So just be in prayer for your church. Amen. And I tell you what, sometimes we wonder about handshaking, but we got sanitizer. Amen. We got use it liberally. Amen. Use it liberally. And, you know, if somebody don't want to shake your hand, don't get offended. Amen. You don't know what some folks are going through. Amen. You know, Sister Tanya, she's going through chemotherapy right now, and the last thing she needs is to get a bug of some kind. Amen. So, you know, you just stay steer clear of her. Amen. Don't even breathe on her. Amen. We don't want to take no chances. Amen. You know, just if somebody don't want to shake your hand, just don't get offended. Amen. Just realize that it's flu season and it's running rampant in people's lives. Jeremiah chapter number 32. We're going to begin reading in verse number 16. If you would stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We want to read a few verses here this morning and then preach what God has laid on our heart and the thought that He has burdened me with. It says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Great in counsel, mighty in work, for Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has sent signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and and possessed it, but obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. What thou hast spoken has come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, listen to this, folks. If you don't get excited about nothing else today, you need to get excited about this. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Brother Woody Fannin, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace, please? You may be seated. For those unfamiliar with the account and the story of Jeremiah, he was one of God's prophets that God had called, and God called him from a young man to prophesy of the destruction and the doom that was coming upon Jerusalem for their rebellion and for their disregard for God's law and God's way and for God's word. And for 50 years, Jeremiah prophesied. For 50 years he warned of impending destruction. For 50 years he told the people what was going to happen, but they rejected him and they received not the word of God. As a matter of fact, on several occasions Jeremiah found himself in the prison, in the dungeon. He was always there, and he was always under ridicule. And now as we come to this point in our text, this morning that we read, Jeremiah is in prison. He's been locked up by King Zedekiah because Jeremiah has spoke the truth unto him. And friends, let me tell you, I believe the day is coming in America, amen, where the man of God that'll stand and tell the truth is going to face retribution. He's going to face ridicule. He's going to face persecution, if not even imprisonment. And I don't believe that day is too far away. People say, well, I don't believe that. America's a Christian nation. America says they're a Christian nation, but their actions prove otherwise. Amen? Their actions prove otherwise. And Jeremiah, he is locked up. King Zedekiah has had him imprisoned. Jeremiah has been prophesying of the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of this great city that is withheld and held out against onslaught and attacks at different times, and thinks it's beyond being able to fall now. But as Jeremiah is praying to the Lord, as he's calling to the Lord, he says, even now the mounts, even now the soldiers are at the city gate. Even now they're here to destroy. They're here to overcome and do what God had said was going to happen. And God, he told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to purchase this piece of property from your uncle. He said, make the arrangements and purchase this property and have it notarized, have it sealed, have it documented that you have purchased this piece of property because this piece of property is going to be yours. This piece of property, this land is going to be possessed. And now Jeremiah has done what God has told him to do. He's purchased the property. He's made the necessary documentation and delivered it. As he says there, delivered the evidence of the purchase there in verse number 16. He's done what God has told him to do. But God has been telling Jeremiah that they are going to be carried into captivity. They're going to be carried into a place, another land. land, a place where they won't be treated like they were here. They won't be autonomous. They'll be the servants of another king. They'll be the servants of another man. He said, but let me tell you what. He said, before you go that way, he said, you need to make sure that you take care of this purchase. Let me ask you something, friends. We're in a place and we're in a time when we're facing the destruction of this world. It's not too far away. It's not too far distant. People, they believe in the good nature of man. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Anywhere where man has been left to his own self, anywhere where man has been left to his own devices, a man has always degraded instead of lifting himself up. Amen. I don't care where you go. I don't care what race or nationality. I don't care what peoples it is, peoples that are left to themselves and not governed by rules and laws and not governed by a moral law, a moral character such as the Word of God, degrade. Happens every time. Has happened through all of history. But Jeremiah says, I was told to make a purchase. Amen. I'm glad one day I made a purchase. Amen. I've got a home awaiting me. Amen. I've got another place to go. Amen. And when God is through with us, and when God sets us free from this low land of sin and sorrow, whether I go individually or whether I go in the rapture, I know I've already made a purchase and I have a place to go. Amen. I have a home that's been secured. But Jeremiah said, look, he said, I have sealed the evidence. See where Jeremiah is. Look at his circumstances. Not unlike ours. His is in an extreme situation, just to show us, just to give us a picture of where we are and where we can be. Many of us here today, we're imprisoned by the cares and the causes of sin. We're imprisoned and we're in bondage to the things of this world, and we don't even realize it. Some of us are even unaware of how bad a situation and how bad our place is. Jeremiah is locked away in prison, but he's still looking on God. Jeremiah is locked away in prison, but he's still obeying God. Jeremiah has been locked up and ridiculed. He said, at one time and in one place, he said, I preached your word. I've done what you told me to do. All that's got me is ridicule. All that's got me is mockery. All that's got me is disdain. He said, I said in my heart and in my life, I'm not even going to preach it anymore. But then the power of God came upon his heart and upon his life, and he said it began to burn on the inside, that he couldn't keep it in. He had to let it go and let it get on the outside. Friend, I want you to know something. I'm in the same place that you are. I live in the same world that you live in. But praise God, I've made a purchase. I've made a preparation. I've made plans. And though I might be here, I might be ridiculed. I might be mocked. I might be made fun of. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to sit back in the corner. I'm not going to be content to surrender and submit myself to what the rest of the world does, because God is great. Look at what he said there in verse number 17. Listen to what he said. I sealed the evidence. May not understand it all. I done what you said to do. And he says, but, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I'm thankful this morning that we may not understand it. He didn't tell us we was going to understand it. I can't understand how God could love me enough to send His Son from the portals of the glory world into this world to die on an old rugged cross for somebody like me. But He did it. Hallelujah. Praise His name. I don't understand how He can take a drunk and can clean him up and make a respectable citizen out of him. Praise God. But He's done it. We met Pastor Ryman the other night and man, what a testimony. Amen. What a testimony he gave before those young people up there at Mercy. He pastors a church down in Smyrna. And as he closed in prayer, he asked Brother Nestle, could he just give a word of testimony? He said, I wish there would have been something like this for me when I was a teenager, when I was a kid. He said, when I was 18 years old, they drug me out of the courthouse in Elkton, cussing the judge that had sentenced me to the penitentiary in Baltimore. He said they carried me from there and carried me down to Baltimore to the penitentiary. But praise God. I guess what happened? One day he got gloriously saved. Amen. One day he got gloriously called to be a man of God and to preach the gospel. One day God gave him a church that's a thriving and he's telling everybody about Jesus. I'm in the same circumstances that you are. But praise God. I made a determination, as Jeremiah said, he didn't understand all this. He couldn't comprehend why God was allowing things to happen the way they were and then tells him to make a purchase. But praise God, he made the purchase. I don't understand why God allows the world to go on like it is, but I made a purchase and I put my faith and trust in him no matter what. Our circumstances are all the same. You know, we think, well, my life and my problem is unique. Your problem ain't unique. There's two circumstances. Amen? One's either dealt with by sin, and the other's dealt with by the Savior. And you're dealing with this world in one of two circumstances. Amen? I don't care what your problems are. Amen. You're either facing them in the specter of sin or you're facing them with the blood of Jesus as a shield before you. Amen. I look at what he says in Romans chapter 3. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, friends, the world is under this condemnation, and we all live in this world. Praise God. But one day he called me. One day he knocked at my heart's door, just like he did the prophet Jeremiah. And one day I surrendered my heart and my life to him, and I made that purchase that he told me was so necessary and so important. And though I live in this world, and I'm bound to this world in the flesh, my affections are set on things above. Amen. Amen. My affections and my desires are set on the things of God. Because you know what? He's a God of impossibilities.
That's right.
Amen. There's only a few things that God can't do. Well, he can't lie.
Amen.
Amen. He can't lie. The Bible says he can't lie. He can't sin. He's above and beyond reproach. He's beyond sinning because sin is against him. Amen. He's not against himself. Amen. There's only a few things that God can't do, and all of them are things that we think of in our finite mind. But praise God, there's limitless possibilities to what God is able to do in your life. if you will allow him to do what he wants to do in your life. If you'll surrender and submit yourself unto him, the Bible says he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right. Amen? Can you imagine, you're probably, how many are, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you are facing a problem? How many of you are dealing with a situation? How many of you are struggling with something? We're struggling with people. We're struggling with addictions. We're struggling with our finances. We're struggling within ourselves with who we are and what our purpose is. We're struggling in some kind of a way. Isn't it good to know that though sin will strive and sin will try to keep you in prison, we serve a God that can get you out of prison. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. How do you realize that God don't want you to be defeated? We struggle with this world, and we struggle with the bondage that this world brings to us. But God doesn't want you to stay defeated. He wants you to live victorious. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. That's what Jesus said. Amen. That was the Lord's prayer. Amen. As he prayed in John 17, as he prayed for the church, he said, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. Amen. I got to live here. Jeremiah was in prison, but he was the man of God. Amen. Jeremiah was in prison, but he wasn't afraid to trust God. Jeremiah was in prison, but he wasn't afraid to do what God told him to do. Why? Because he trusted God. Amen. Our circumstances cannot dictate and should not dictate who our God is. Amen? Amen. Just because we might be ridiculed, that doesn't change who my God is. Just because things aren't going my way at the moment or I may not understand them, it doesn't change who my God is. Amen. Amen. You don't believe that? Ask Sister Tanya. Amen. Cancer hasn't changed who her God is. As a matter of fact, as she has dealt with cancer and as I've seen her walk through this dark valley, I've seen her grow closer to God. Amen. Instead of being drawn away, instead of the circumstances dictating who her God is, her God dictates what her circumstance is going to be. And praise God, in this world or in the next world, amen, in ridicule or in glory, praise God, he still gives the victory. Amen. Amen. Because he's the God of impossibilities. Amen. We sung that song, didn't I walk on the water? You know, God reminds us sometimes that we need to remember the things that he's done. Jeremiah here in verses 20 to 25 begins to recounting the things that God had done, the things that God had accomplished for Israel. He says, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice. Neither walk they in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts, they are coming to the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And that thou hast spoken, and what thou hast spoken has come to pass. And behold, thou thou seest it, and thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, I buy thee the field for money, and take no witness, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah said, look, God, he said, I'm not afraid to do what you told me to do, because there's nothing that's too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't do. He says, I remember how you formed the world and how you spoke a world into existence. He said, I remember how you brought our people out of the land of bondage, how you brought us out of bondage before, and you can bring us out of bondage again. How you led us down into Egypt and they put us in bondage, but you set us free. How you tell us now that the Chaldeans are here and we're going into bondage. Oh, but praise God, we know, God, that you're able to set us free. You told me to make a purchase, and God, I went ahead and made this purchase, not on what I know, and not on what I feel, and not on what I think, but God, I've done it on what you said. Lord, I've done it on what you said, because I've seen what you've done, and I've seen what you've done, and I know, dear God, today that there's nothing that's impossible for you. And friend, I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but you can look back, and you can think back, and you can read back. If nothing has ever happened in your life, you can go back to the Word of God and see that He is the God of impossibilities. Amen. And He can do what you need Him to do for you. Jeremiah was in a horrible circumstance. But it's good when you're in a horrible circumstance. Anybody here in a horrible circumstance? Hey, man, I know a lot of us are going through horrible circumstances. Hey, man, we have health issues. We have family issues. Marriages are struggling. Families are struggling. Finances are struggling. Jobs are fleeting. And people's lives are sometimes just hung in the balance, just waiting to see what's going to happen, whether a blessing or a trial comes their way, whether they crash or not. We talked to a young preacher the other night. He's been here to this church. He and his wife had run a children's home, a boy's home, for some years, and his life just crashed down around him. His wife got involved with one of the young men. She's in prison today. Amen. He thought it had destroyed his ministry. But God is still using him because he's faithful. Amen. God's still honoring him because he is the God that he is. Amen. But he said, you know what? He said, I got into a circumstance. Amen. And he said, when I got into that circumstance, he said, I thought it was over. He said, I lost my ministry that I was in. At the time, he said, I lost my wife. She divorced me when she went through all this. He said, I lost my home. The legal battle that we fought cost us everything that we had. He said, and the charges that were brought against him, the lawsuits that were brought against his family cost him everything he had. And he said, I was at the end of my rope. And he said, I thought I was done. He said, I even contemplated doing some things unthinkable. But then he remembered God. Amen. You think you're in a circumstance that God can't work in, then you don't know the God that I know. You think you're in a circumstance that's beyond God's ability and God's control, then you're not serving the God that I serve. Because there's nothing impossible for Him. And when you begin to think of what He's done for you, when you begin to recount the blessings that He's blessed you with and how He's helped you, every breath that you take right now, you might not account for it, but it's a blessing from God. It's a help that He's given you. If you have a health to be able to get up, it's a blessing from God. If you have health to be able to work, it's a blessing from God. If you have anything at all, it's a blessing from God. And if you'll go back and in the midst of your circumstance, I just begin to recount all the times that God has been there, all the times that He's brought you through, all the miracles and wonders and signs that He's done. It will just excite your heart and thrill your soul to realize that even in the midst of my circumstance, I serve a God who blesses. I serve a God who is great and mighty in power and in deed. He spoke a world into existence. Praise God. He parted the sea to bring deliverance to His people, Brother Woody. Praise God. The Bible says He touched an old man, 100 years old, and an old woman, 90 years old, and gave him a child. Praise God. The Bible tells me that He walked with the children of Israel as they went through the fiery furnace. The Bible tells me He was there with Daniel in the lion's den and brought deliverance. He walked on this earth. He became a man just like I am. And He walked in this world just like I walk. And He brought power. And He brought deliverance. He brought healing. And He brought salvation. There was nothing that could hinder Him. He opened the blinded eyes. He raised the dead to life. He made the lame to walk. They nailed Him to an old rugged tree. And they poured upon Him the sin of all humanity. And when Satan thought he had won the battle, praise God, he rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave to give victory unto all who will trust in Him. I tell you what, our circumstances might all be the same. They might all be similar. But praise God, our consolation. Amen. Amen. Our hope isn't in our circumstances. Our hope is in our God. Amen. And then look, as God speaks and just brings absolute peace. As God speaks and brings just absolute comfort to Jeremiah's heart. Oh, in prison, still doing what God would told him. Don't ever quit doing what God tells you to do. Amen. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the churches say. You know what the problem with most of our churches today is? We've quit worshiping God and we worship man. Amen. We've quit worshiping in power and in truth, and we worship in form and fashion according to what man thinks is right. I never could understand myself. A fellow gave me a book one time on a pastor in a church, and he gave it to me. He said, "Here, you ought to read this. Might help you out." In a week ahead of time, you got to have all the songs picked out. A week ahead of time, you should know what you're going to preach today. A week ahead of time, you should know how many special singers you're going to have. Where is the Spirit of God in the midst of all that? You can't program a worship service. You can't program God, but praise God, if your program is centered on God, amen, you can reach up and He'll reach down and He'll touch your heart and touch your life. When God spoke, amen, you know why so many churches are dead today? Because God's not been invited in. Amen. God wouldn't have an idea what the inside of that church looked like if He was a human being. Amen, because He's never been invited in. We're worried so much about form and fashion. We're worried so much about feelings. You know, old Jacob got fooled by feelings, didn't he? Amen. He said he heard the word. He said, the voice is Jacob's. The word ain't right.
Yeah.
But it feels good.
Yeah.
Amen. The word wasn't right, but it felt good. We're worried more about feel good than is it right. Amen. When God spoke unto Jeremiah, God knew Jeremiah, and Jeremiah knew God. Jeremiah found out that in his circumstances, God would still speak comforting words unto him. Listen to what he said. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Yes, Jeremiah, I told you to purchase the the land. Yes, Jeremiah, I told you to do the documentation and paperwork and let everybody know that you who said that you're going into captivity has purchased the land and has made a purchase. Let everybody know what's going on, not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, but because of who I am. You're going to get to see what's going to happen one day. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I've been hearing all this. Jeremiah preached 50 years. Amen. They heard it for 50 years. Amen. And they still didn't believe. They still rejected. They still refused. But it didn't change one bit who God was. It didn't change one bit what God could do. It didn't change one bit what God's desire was for Jeremiah's life. His circumstances didn't change God, because God was there with him all the time. God spoke to his heart, and God, did you realize no matter what prison the devil tries to lock you up in, do you realize that no matter what dungeon he wants to seal you away in, amen, they can't lock God out. Amen. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're struggling with. But we got a God that says there's nothing impossible for him to do. We got a God that says that we can call on him and he'll hear us. We got a God that says his thoughts and his desires for us are good. He says back in chapter number 29, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. He says over here in chapter number 33, in verse number 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Amen. I can't understand all that God has done. I don't understand all that God has done, is doing. But praise God, I look back, and I can recount the times that he's blessed me in my life and in my heart. I can look back in the Word of God. There's three times, there's three births in the Bible that were talked about, and it said that there was nothing impossible for God. When Abraham and Sarah are trying to fulfill what God would have them to do, and God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bring your youth upon you again, and your wife Sarah also, and she's going to bear you a child. And Sarah laughed within herself, and God said, why did she laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh yeah, you did laugh. He said, is there anything impossible for God? When the angel Gabriel come and told the Virgin Mary, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. But before that, he said, you're going to have a child. She said, how can this be? I've known not a man. He said, is there anything impossible for God? The Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and he's going to accomplish this thing. Two births that seemed humanly impossible, that God made conceivable, and God made it to work. There is nowhere else in recorded history where a virgin has ever gave birth to a child. Amen. Amen. Because it was a miracle wrought of God. In Luke, I think it's chapter 18, the Bible tells that a rich young ruler that wanted to know what he had to do to be saved. Jesus told him, said, keep the law, and he obeyed the commandments, which Jesus pointed out the important ones. They're all important, but the major ones that encompass all of them. He says, all these have I kept from my youth. Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that thou hast and give it unto the poor. And he went away sad because he had great riches. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. A few weeks ago, within the last month, had the opportunity, I had a rich man call me, a man very wealthy. He was broken. He was crying. And he asked me to pray for him. He said, I can't get into it right now. I just need you to pray. I just need you to pray. I called him back a few weeks later and spoke to him to see how things were going. And he told me, he said, I understand why the Bible says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. He said, you know I love the Lord. He said, but I let things get in the way of my servant, the Lord. Christian, if that can do it to this is a good Christian man. If that can happen to a Christian man. And a Christian man give that testimony. What do you think about the ungodly? I believe it's James or Peter, one or the other. You can go look it up and find out. I can't remember it this minute. It says, if the righteous scarcely make it, what about the ungodly and unbelieving? Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, we always picture that in our life as talking about a camel going through a sewing needle. When I was in Pompeii, a tour guide showed me the eye of the needle. In the city, at night after the gates were locked, if you come in and out of the city, you had to go through the eye of the needle. It was a very short, very narrow, very tight space that actually had slits in the walls where you went through, where soldiers could fire upon you if an invasion was attempted before they could get the gate shut. But to bring a camel in, the camel literally had to get down on its knees and fight its way through. It was intended for that purpose. Most of the time the visitors would come, would tie their camels outside the city and would come into the city and wait till the morning when the gates would open and then go get their camel and bring it into the city. Jesus said it's easier for that camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And his disciples questioned, well, Lord, who can be saved then? And Jesus said, with man, it might seem impossible, but with God, there is nothing that's impossible. Friend, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're struggling with. But let me tell you why. Whatever your circumstance is, the world might not be able to do anything for you. The programs can't do it. The pep groups can't do it. But I know who can. His name is Jesus. There's nothing impossible for him. The world might see your circumstance and might see your situation and say you're hopeless. You're a lost cause. There's no way that God would take someone like you. But Jesus said, what might seem impossible unto man don't mean a thing, because there's nothing impossible for God. The Bible says he saves to the uttermost. The saying says he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. The psalmist said he was in a horrible pit in the miry clay. And God heard his cry and brought him out. There's nothing impossible for God. God spoke unto Jeremiah, dear Christian friend, in the midst of his circumstance, in the midst of where he was, and says, don't worry about a thing, Jeremiah. There's nothing impossible for me. He can bring you out. He can bring you up. If you know the story of Jeremiah, you go back and read it in Kings. When they came, Jeremiah was set free. When everyone else went into bondage, Jeremiah was set free to go wherever he would go. They begged him to come. They would bestow honor upon him if he came. But he said, no, I'm staying here. He was free. Friends, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can make you free. Jesus wants you to be free. He wants to take your burdens, your cares, and your load. Cast them on him. And find deliverance. He is the God of impossibilities. Would someone get me a song of invitation?